would invite you to turn in the scripture to James chapter 1, 27. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. This is the third message in a series that the spiritual leadership team is bringing. 2 weeks ago, Rodney proclaimed his letter to the Jewish Christians who are scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And these Christian brothers and sisters are going through adversity because of their faith in Jesus Christ. He did this morning to proclaim Jesus Christ. They were being hunted. It was very difficult for them. And it was a very tumultuous time. And like all of us, when we're faced with adversity, when we are faced with trouble, we are tempted to take the easiest way possible with the least pain that has the most potential our way. We want things done our way. And so we'll take the easiest way possible. That's what we're tempted to as human beings. But generally, that's not God's way. That is not God's way. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. James says, "You face trials of many kinds because you know that the testing," and that word testing is the word for purifying. It's the same word that we use when we heat up impurities come to the top. It's a testing time of the gold. "Because you know that the testing," the purifying of your faith, what you believe is your faith, that produces perseverance. And James says, let yourself experience perseverance. Because perseverance is what God uses to finish his work in your life so that you may be mature as you follow Jesus. James says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, you will receive the crown of life." And what are we tempted to do when we're going through a tough time? What are we tempted to do when adversity strikes and it threatens our happiness tent and it gets really hard to follow Jesus? It doesn't look like God is going to come through. What are we tempted to do? Take the shortcut. We're tempted to hunt for another idol, and to make us feel good. We're tempted to take the path of least resistance. 13. When you're tempted, don't say, "God is tempting me. God is tempting me again." Don't tempt anyone. Each person is tempted when they are lured away by their own evil and they are enticed. Ben did a great job of lifting that up last week. If you missed it, go back and listen to those past two sermons. But I believe that James is saying to us, he's saying, when you're swimming up the stream of adversity, when you're swimming, get tired, and you feel your own weakness coming on, and you start hungering for a way out of that stream, and you're tempted to allow yourself, like a fish, to take one that are thrown in by the fishermen, and you're tempted to be enticed by that lure that has a big worm on it, or shall I say, an apple that looks really good. James says, remember, it's not the apple. It's not the worm. It's your own desire that entices and lures you to sin and gives birth to death. So James is very clear. Make no bones about it. When you're in the middle of a say, well, God's tempting me again. No. Temptation is never God's way. To submit ourselves to God in the midst of our trial that we're going through and to allow the impure beliefs accumulated in our heart, those impure beliefs that rise up and increased by doctrine that is not true, by easy solutions that look like they're going to solve the problem. God wants us at that moment to be exposed so that the Holy Spirit can purify our hearts and transform us God's way. Look at verse 18 of chapter 1. God chose to give us birth. We're rebirthed of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that God created. God's word, his everlasting word, his life-giving word, is in our DNA as believers. When we go to the cross, we go into the tomb with Jesus. We're raised by him. We have the word of God implanted in us so that when we experience adversity, when we experience trials, we are to embrace of God because it will transform us. So I would ask you to rise now in honor of the word of God and turn to James chapter. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word that God planted in you, which can save you. Listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a male who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently at freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Perspective than you had in this text, it's a different perspective than I've ever had up until the last 2 weeks. When I took the word and I started chewing on it and I started coming before the Lord and inviting them intently into this mirror because this is the mirror that God would have us stare into. So I started staring into it. And this is one thing that I discovered in verse. James begins this paragraph by saying, this is what we know. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of these things that I have just spoken to you. He is reminding them what he told them in the preceding paragraph. Don't blame God for your sinful behavior. Don't blame God for your temptation's fault. It's your fault. You know this. You know this. And that's what James is saying. Stop opening by all those shiny lures. Stop swallowing that idolatrous garbage. Shut your mouth. Open your heart. Open your heart to the perseverance of the word of truth. Because if you open your heart in the word of truth, it will save your soul. Look at verse 19. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Does not achieve the righteousness of God. Now remember the setting for this command. This is a command. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. This is not a marriage retreat. God is not talking to a husband. Quick to listen to her. Be slow to speak. Don't let those words come out of your mouth. That's not the setting for this passage. It's not a lesson when one says something to the other and say, son, you have two ears and one mouth, so you should listen more than you talk. I've said that. This is not a sermon that James, certainly there is wisdom for all of those settings that I mentioned, but that's not the primary focus of James' command. James is not talking about relationship with one another. James is talking about our response to the Word of God. Our response to the Word of God. In the midst of adversity, in the midst of hard times, while you're trying to live out your life as a follower of Jesus Christ, be quick to listen to this word. Your own opinion about it. And be slow to get angry. This is a pretty in-your-face confrontation of the Word of God. And it would be really easy to, when you hear the word, want to push back, want to get angry. Hey, you don't have any idea what I'm going through. This word has nothing to say to me. Wait a minute. You mean, God, bring my offering this morning. If I know that somebody has an argument or disagreement against me, God is calling me to take my offering with me. Go out and then bring my offering. You expect me to do that? You expect me to forgive 7 times 7? No, not 7 times 7. 77. Hey, you'd be angry too if you felt like God was calling you to do that kind of stuff. And here's what James is saying. When you are in a pickle and you're reading the Word of God, and it's something that you don't really want to allow to grab on. You stay right there, and you keep abiding in the Word of God that God has implanted in your soul. Don't take the temptation bait by temptation to blame God or think that there's some other way to get to the promised land. Look at verse 25. You take the word of God, but you look intently. You look intently into the perfect law. You know what that word is? It's the same word that John uses in John 15. Jesus said, abide in me. Abide in me. Hang out. Stick around. It doesn't mean grabbing a Bible verse here and a Bible verse there. It's roulette. Or even a 1-hour Bible study. If you have ever left dirty dishes in the sink, dried and crusty and caked on there the next day, you know those dishes need to abide in hot water before you can get all that junk off. The water and the soap soften the hard stuff so that the dishes will come clean. Saying, we need to soak. We need to soak in the Word of God. We need to come clean. We need to take those areas hardened where we become so rigid. And we need to soak our minds in God's Word, in His truth, until the junk comes off. James says, until the filthiness and all the remains of wickedness melt. You know what James is really asking us today? If you came into church today, encountered the Word, and that Word was a corrective message for your life, a corrective message that you need to change. And this is what James is saying. Don't defend yourself. Don't excuse yourself. Listen closely to what the Word, allow yourself to hear the Word of God. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. In verse 20, James is saying, when we get angry and we defend ourselves, that righteous life that God desires from us. Have you ever had someone, a brother or sister, come up to you? You know what you're doing or what you're thinking about doing. Can I give you a few scriptures to go to, allowing the Word of God? Would you be open to soaking in that Word? I did that a couple of weeks ago. I knew about an action that two people were going that didn't honor the Word of God. Now I'm in a pickle. I'm not God. I'm not their judge. No, I'm not. But I am their brother. Brother in Christ. I care about them. I care about whether or not they fulfill God's calling upon their life. And so I have scriptures that applied, and I simply did this. I wrote them down. I went to both of them, and I said, would you soak in this Word? Because they were about ready to do something that was unlawful. And rather than saying, oh, lawbreaker, not my calling, this is the only thing that, like dove, can take off the crust from the dishes and from our lives. And so I praise God today, both unbeknownst to the other one, allowed the Word of God. They intently spent time with it, and the Word of God brought a different action. Realized that they were about ready to break the law, and they made the correction. And I wasn't sure. I got a phone call from one of them, and I wasn't sure whether I was going to get a blasted earful or not. I'm not sure if I would come to your house as your pastor, and I would bring a couple of scriptures. I'm not sure. You might leave the church. But you know what? The way I read the scripture, we're called to go deeper into the Word. We're not called to give each other advice, but we do know when we are lured by something that looks enticing, but it's going to lead to death. It's not going to lead to life. And the brother at the other end of the phone said, brother, I just spent an hour. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Now, it could have been different. I may never have seen him again. I don't know. But that's what I hear James calling us. Verse 21, he tells us what we are to do. Here's the prescription. Set aside all filthiness. And do you know in the Greek, that word is earwax. It's wax that has built up in your ear. So set aside, remove the earwax from your ears so that you can truly hear God. And in humility. Now, humility, the normal word for humility is lowliness. This is more like gentleness, considerateness, restraint. Listen, in humility, be gentle with the Word. Considerate of what God wants to tell you. And then listen. Welcome the Word. Take it into your hands. Grasp it. And he says, Grasp the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. 22, James says, be doers of the word. Prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. James, in essence, is saying, if you don't do it, you don't believe it. If you don't do what you believe, then you don't believe it because it's in your heart. What I hear James saying is, be people who are becoming who the Word of God says that you are. When you hear the Word of God that is implanted in your heart and put it into action. He says the Bible is like a mirror that shows you and me are. Look at verse 23. Is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, the face of his birth, and once he looks at himself, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is, what he looks like, and who he is. In order to understand this, we have to understand that world was different from our world. Mirrors are all over the place. My goodness, we have cell phones and people take selfies all the time. But mirrors were rare in the ancient world. If you wanted a mirror, you had to take some bronze and then you had to give elbow grease and you had to polish it. A rough approximation of what you look like. It's kind of looking at the lake when there's ripples on it. You can't really get a full look, but you can get enough of a look. Owned by the wealthy class. But the average person couldn't afford a mirror. So it was rare for the person to get a chance to really look at themselves. Amazing. They were like a little toddler. They were amazed. There were no photographs. So the average person knew very little what. So James' point here is that having an opportunity to look at the Word of God, and this really grabs my heart. Having an opportunity to look at is a rare gift. It's a rare gift because it gives us a glimpse of who we are. And then not to take that opportunity as Jesus' disciples, James is saying, that's unthinkable to me. It's unthinkable that you have a mirror. You haven't spent any time in it. You don't allow yourself to see yourself in it. James says, that's unthinkable. Is male. So I'll give $20 to any guy this morning who has a mirror in his purse. Any males have a mirror in your wallet this morning? No. A male uses a mirror is different than the way a female uses a mirror. Men just kind of glance at it. They get a look at it. Oh, yeah. And then they walk away. Themselves. And they immediately forget the person that they saw in the mirror. And your wife says, look at yourself. And instead of taking the time to make the most of that, you just casually walk on and say, no big deal. It's like saying the Word of God goes in one ear and out the other. On the other hand, women observe. Women self-examine. Women reflect. Women gaze. Women hang out. Women marinate. And James says in verse 25, looks intently at the perfect law, God's perfect truth, the law of liberty, the law that brings freedom. And you marinate in it, with it. You abide by it. You dwell in it. And you live by it. James said, forgetful hearer. You are an effectual doer. And James says, you will be blessed. God's blessing. You want to have God's favor in your life? Be an effectual doer of the word, not a forgetful hearer of the word. And then James goes examples of what this might look like. Somebody might be called to look at their tongue and bridle the tongue. James is going to deal with that in a couple. Look at that. James says, you know what that looks like? You're in the word of God. You go and visit orphans. You visit widows in their distress. And you keep yourself unstained by the world. I want to just sum up what I believe James is saying to us as a takeaway this morning. Who are following Jesus need to have a submissive attitude toward the Word of God. When God's Word challenges you, instead of angrily defending yourself, you are called to humble yourself and gently welcome the Word of God and take it to heart. Spend time in that Word. Take it to heart. Allow the implanted Word to transform your life and then put it into practice in concrete ways. It's not enough to do religious activity. You need to be putting into practice God's Word and let God's Word do the work of maturing us for His glory. Us in a prayer, and I'd like to give you the opportunity. If the Word of God is grabbing you this morning, and that's all I'm going to do, if the Word of God is grabbing you this morning, grabbing your heart and calling you to more intently dive into that Word as I'm praying, thing, I would invite you, if the Holy Spirit, if it applies to you, just stand. Stand where you are. Allow yourself to respond to the Word. Let's pray. God planted the Word of truth in the soil of your heart, repented of your sin and your self-righteousness. God planted the Word of truth in the soil of your heart when by faith in Jesus' death and resurrection, I die to myself and I turn my life over to Jesus to live for the glory of God. God made you a new creation, gave you a new spirit, the Holy Spirit. He gave you a new nature. And that new nature recognizes the truth of God and then grabs as you intently stare into the Word of truth. And the life that you now live, you live by faith in this. You no longer live. Christ lives in you. Although the seed of faith of your heart, have you been receptive to the fullness of that life-giving seed in your heart? To it. In this last week, have you gazed in the mirror for an extended period of time? Glance. Did it go in one ear and out the other? If that applies to you, I invite you to stand. Are you welcome? Are you yielding yourself to the power of the Holy Spirit to transform your heart? Or have you been tempted and lured those things that take you away from the Word? Those things that promise life but deliver death. Are you a work that He began in you at the cross? Have you allowed weeds to grow alongside the good seed? Is the good seed being choked out? Your potential growth gone? Have you treated God's Word? You chew it for a little while, You enjoy the flavor, and then you spit it out. Have you let wax build so you can't hear God clearly? Are you making up your own agenda for the Christian faith? Do you have your Christianity that's easier? Do you treat the Word of God as a tourist, avoiding the areas you don't want to visit? Like a smorgasbord, do you eat only what you want while you ignore the rest? True, living, life-changing Word of God. When you open yourself in the mirror and you take a long, the Word of God might not taste very good. And you might be tempted to shut your ears. You might be tempted to go for something lighter and easier that makes you feel better. He says, keep chewing it. Keep chewing it. Because it is necessary, and only this word will cleanse you and purify beliefs and change you and mature you and grow you into the image of Jesus Christ. Don't be hearers of the word. Be doers of the word. Be a church where your word is so central, so powerful, the only forming way that we can be born from above. And we want who are open not only to your word, but open to brothers and sisters who will love us, encourage us, exhort us, and sometimes do the hard thing. Come to us with the word, the only way that we can be transformed by your power and by your grace. Come, Holy Spirit, to continue to do your work among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? We're going to close with the benediction. Lord, we ask you to bless us and keep us in us. We ask you, Lord, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. We ask you to take your word and transform our lives as we intently gaze in and we allow you to do your maturing work in each of us, among us, and in our midst. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you today.